Hi, I'm Tiona. I'm an addict.
Hi.
Man, it's first of all, I'm really grateful to be sitting here. I think this was one of the meetings that I tried coming to, and like when I came in last year, and it was just so terrifying. I remember the first time I sat in the front row, and probably by the end of like the second reading, I left because it was just too many people, too much like personalities and energy just going on, and I was like, no, this is not for me. I am really nervous. I'm nervous, but I'm not anxious, and I say that because the first kind of probably 3 or 4 months of going to meetings, I literally kind of shook with anxiety. I could not sit still. And it was really painful because I knew that the only thing that can help was just to try and do something different, and I just couldn't figure anything out myself. But I feel like I'm already ranting and I've just started. Okay, so it's an experience, strength, and hope kind of deal. I just want to say I'm 10 and a half months clean. Thank you. I have a sponsor that has a sponsor. And I say that because I get a lot out of it. It's a really big deal. If you don't know what a sponsor is, you can speak to someone afterwards. But like a sponsor to me is like a surrogate mom. It's like someone that kind of took me on, and oh my God, and basically kind of taught me all those things that my own mother, although she did the best she could, like she didn't teach me how to deal with life. But I'm not gonna go into that because, you know, like, I'm an addict, and the biggest part of the reason I'm sitting in this seat is because I took drugs. But yeah, so, okay. I just turned 28 yesterday, and I was clean. I didn't drink, and I say that I don't separate the two, but I know that when I first came into these rooms in 2014, I didn't hear that alcohol was a drug. So I thought I was clean. I was like, hey, I don't do class A's anymore. I white knuckled that shit. So that means I'm clean. But I was drinking. And very quickly thereafter, I kind of started drinking on a daily basis. And so alcohol is a really big part of my story, and I'm going to own that. I just want to say, if you don't identify with anything I say, that's okay. There's loads of us, and we all have different stories because we are individuals. But if you can't find any similarities, kind of hold on to those, because they kept me coming to meetings. It's just that kind of identification with what people go through, even if the facts are not exactly the same. So yeah, alcohol was a really, really big part of my story. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My father's an alcoholic, very active, very violent, and physically and mentally abusive. And it was a tough gig, because I was a really sensitive child, and you know, like, I was really, really happy and positive, but it was only so much of that happiness and positivity I could kind of keep. When every time I went home, it was kind of hell. So I know that from a really early age, I hated alcohol. I was like, I'm never ever gonna do this. I hate what my father looks like when he does it, and how he behaves, and I'm never ever gonna be like him, because I think the way I understood the world at the time, him drinking and the way he was as a person was one and the same. It's a really big deal having come into recovery and gotten a bit of empathy for him and kind of understood that, you know, like, he just suffered with what I suffer with, and it was untreated. It's not who I am, although it's a part of me, but when addiction takes over, it's like, you know, I know from experience that I've done and said things to people that I love and to people that I definitely wouldn't have wanted to hurt, just because that's where I was at. So it was really hard to kind of let go of that anger and resentment towards him. I'm not saying I have completely, but it certainly changed my perspective coming into these meetings. So I'm so good at going on tangents. I'm just gonna try and like keep it clear and coherent and simple. So I grew up hating alcohol and saying I'm never ever gonna turn out like that. And I really tried very, very hard. I was good at school and I liked sports. So I kind of stayed away from substances for my early adolescence. But it's just crazy because one day I was like, hey, you people are losers. You need to drink and you know, smoke weed to have fun. Just to kind of say that when I was younger, like, weed was the only drug I kind of, like, even thought about, to be honest. Like, I didn't really, any of the other stuff never even crossed my mind. And I used to make fun of people because, in my opinion, you know, they needed something outside of themselves to have a good time. And I thought that was really sad. Little did I know that, you know, like a couple of years later, I was doing exactly the same thing. I'm going to fast forward because there's so much to say in like 15 minutes. But abusive household. I got an opportunity, an academic opportunity when I was 14 to go to a school in a different country, which was England. And I think... not that I know anything about normal people or how they function, but if there is such a thing anyways. But I think most 14-year-olds would have been really like scared to leave home. I could not wait to leave. All I wanted to do was get the fuck out of there. Excuse my French. I know this is recorded. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. I did. Oh, well. So I just couldn't... I could not wait to leave because up until that point... all I wanted was to escape. Like, my reality was not a nice reality. It wasn't safe. It wasn't loving. It wasn't stable. And I could see that. And so all I wanted was a way out. And so I got an opportunity, and I took it. But that didn't last for too long. My parents couldn't really sustain the financial side of things, and I had to go back. And... like a few crappy things happened when I was 16. Don't like, you know, it's one of those like things that some teenagers go through. Not gonna get into it. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable. But something not very nice happened to me. And I remember like later on that year, Christmas in my household was like the kind of culmination of the hell. And I remember that Christmas, I was 17, and you know, the stuff was getting broken, people were shouting, my dad was beating up my mom, and I don't say this calmly because it's like something normal, but I choose kind of to not really get emotional because I don't think that's going to help me or anyone else that's sitting in these chairs. We know that's a crappy thing for a kid to go through, but yeah, that was going on. And I just remember kind of thinking, you know what, I'm going to show you guys. Wow. Okay, right. Anyways, I left, I picked up my jacket and I went to the place where I knew everybody used. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to show them how much they've messed me up. And I'm going to go and try what these drugs are about. I kind of, from the get-go, I picked up to smash myself. I didn't pick up to have a good time. I didn't pick up to make friends. I just went to kind of kill myself, and fully consciously knew that that's what I was doing. 2 years later, I was in London working in a brothel, having dropped out of university, using anything and everything people gave me, never asking any questions, basically kind of being like, incredibly promiscuous with my substance use and sexually and having left any prospect of a life completely behind. And that was like at 19, at age 2026, I guess, yeah, last year, I was on the verge of a suicide, but I had been to a meeting already previously, and I'd seen this lady, and she kind of gave me her number, and I remember seeing her twice at the same meeting in a matter of year, like 1 year. I mean, that's, I went twice in that year. And so she was there the first time and the second time. And the second time when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, I have your number. You don't need to give it to me. I have it. And she looked at me and she was like, how about you call me next time? And so I was ready to kind of check out completely and ultimately. And I don't know what happened. I got a choice. I had like this split second of a glimpse, and I was like, you know what? No, I wasn't. I was desperate. I just picked up the phone because I literally didn't even have enough energy to walk to the kitchen and pick up a knife. But I don't know if I didn't have an alternative, if I would have found the energy to pick up that knife. But I didn't. And so I went to meet. I started going to meetings. At the end of like a couple of weeks, I looked at the lady that took me to that meeting, and I was like, so if I want to do this recovery thing, I got to stop drinking, don't I? And she said yes. So it's really important for me to say that if anybody had tried to tell me what to do, I would have been out the door in a blink of an eye. And just to kind of like fast that forward to how I am right now, I ask for advice. I ask for guidance. I ask for suggestions. I don't always listen to them, but I kind of keep asking until my head manages to open up enough for me to hear something that I've not come up with, because the things that I come up with are not very safe for me. Sometimes I have good ideas, but it's really tough to kind of know which one is which, so I need people. And when I came to these rooms, I had absolutely nobody. Nobody. My phone didn't ring. I didn't get text messages. I didn't have any friends. I didn't speak to my family. And I thought it was everybody else's fault, because they were supposed to look for me, when I'd made it perfectly clear I had no interest in anyone that didn't have something tangible to give me. Like, if you didn't have money or attention for something that I want to pay attention to, then I kind of wasn't interested in you. But I'm 10 and a half months clean, and I didn't stay clean from the moment I got here. And you know, I learned the hard way. I break my head, and then I break my head a little bit less, and then I scrape my knee, and then I kind of just trip, you know? And each time I make some kind of a mistake, I learn. And then the next time I make a mistake, it's the consequences are a little bit less. I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone, but it's kind of how I see it, and I'm probably really running out of time. So these rooms have saved my life. I am changing as we speak. Today has been, I'm just going to end on this, today has been like a really big deal. A couple of hours before I came here, I had the person that I was seeing for the past 3 months, and our relationship. And I'm sitting here in one piece. My feelings did not fucking kill me. And I used on my feelings, even though I didn't even know what that was. But today I can be alive through a painful experience. And I don't have to use. I don't have to die. I don't even have to, like, hate myself at the end of it. It's okay. Thank you for letting me be of service. And, yeah, thanks.